ECOWAS suspends another of its members in response to a coup. Burkina Faso joins Mali and Guinea on the West African bloc's banned list. But so far, that approach has made little impact. So is ECOWAS suffering from a crisis of credibility? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Elizabeth Peranum in Doha. The suspension of another country from ECOWAS is raising questions about the organization's response to coups over the past 18 months. West Africa's main regional bloc removed Burkina Faso days after the army overthrew President Roch Kabore. It stopped short of sanctions for now. Recent coups in Guinea and Mali have seen both countries sanctioned and suspended by ECOWAS, but it's done little to sway the behaviour of military leaders in either nation. And the hardline approach seems to have backfired in Mali, where the junta has rallied support around claims that ECOWAS is a bully. As Al Jazeera's Nicholas Hark reports from Ouagadougou, there's a similar mood in Burkina Faso.
There's been a muted reaction to the latest decision by the West African body ECOWAS. It was something that many here expected. Some are waiting to see what will happen next. But frankly, overall, people here simply don't care. The institution has lost a level of credibility in the eyes of many here. It's seen as a club to protect the interest of aging presidents rather than protecting the interest of the people. And while in principle the suspension of Burkina Faso sets in motion the possibility of sanctions and it treats them as outcasts, there has been three military coups in the region. There has been sanctions put in place in neighboring countries, but that has done little to stop the trade in the region or sway those coup leaders to change their ways. At the heart of what we're seeing right now is a crisis in the democratic institutions. People no longer trust the way that democracy is being played out in the region, whether it be here in Burkina Faso, in Mali, or in Guinea, where we've seen military coups. People want to see some sort of change in the way that they are led. Nicholas Hawk in Ouagadougou for Inside Story.
Well, for more on this, I'm joined by our guests. In Bamako is Ornella Mordoran, head of the Sahel Programme for Institute for Security Studies. And in London, we have David Otto, director of Geneva Centre for Africa. A very warm welcome to both of you. And Ms. Mordoran, I'll start with you in Bamako. Will Burkina Faso's suspension by ECOWAS, from ECOWAS, have any impact on the military's actions?
Well, not in a direct way. The suspension is one of those extremely minimal measures that ECOWAS takes in this kind of circumstances. The most direct impact it will have is diplomatic, political, and to some extent symbolic. The main point of this suspension is to make sure that, on the one hand, ECOWAS affirms a principled position against coups, and on the other hand, also to make sure that the country that's being affected by this coup doesn't get to have a say in the organization's decision-making. So this isn't in any way a decision that's directly related to the military capacity of either Burkina or its partners as of now.
All right. Mr. Otto, ECOWAS leaders will meet again, I believe, next week to assess the outcome of their mission to Burkina Faso. They are travelling there today and see whether additional sanctions should be imposed. But if we have a look at what's been happening in the region and with ECOWAS in recent months, if we look at Mali, the significant sanctions there have had no impact whatsoever on the military. Why is that? And do you think that that's something that could influence ECOWAS's course of actions in Burkina Faso?
You're very correct. The outcome of the decision that ECOWAS made in terms of the suspension in Mali and how that has played out will be at the back of ECOWAS's mind in terms of, the kind of of suspension that, you know, they consider for Burkina Faso. You've got to remember that from a geopolitical perspective, Burkina Faso has a boundary with Mali and Niger, which is not a member of ECOWAS. So I think if they are considering shutting down ECOWAS borders, you know, then Mali will not be impacted because, of course, Mali has withdrawn itself from ECOWAS. I think, you know, the only area where they could get some leverage will be the boundaries with Ivory Coast, you know. But again, you know, how much impact will closing down the boundaries be? How will that impact on the military junta? Mm-hmm. So they have to really consider very carefully because, of course, ECOWAS is losing a lot of credibility. Of course, we've seen, you know, the fact that Malians have risen against the ECOWAS sanction, therefore gives some level of, you know, hope for the Burkina base to perhaps repeat the same thing. Remember, this is a repetition of what the military junta in Mali did. It's the same thing that we've seen in the case of Burkina Faso. The military junta made it very clear and, you know, said it was because of the inability of the democratic government under President Kabore to deal with the insurgency, mm-hmm. and, you know, talked about the ineffective strategy. So I kind of think ECOWAS will place itself in a very challenging position. They have arrived at Ouagadougou today, and let's see how that pans out. But it's unlikely that ECOWAS would have any kind of leverage that will, you know, push the military junta to rescind, you know, onto the coup d'etat. I think, you know, we're almost, you know, on a end game here for ECOWAS's influence as far as coup d'etats are concerned.
That's really, really interesting. And I do want to talk about ECOWAS's influence, its legitimacy, its credibility more. But Ms. Mordoran, if I can put to you just how much of a conundrum is ECOWAS in, given, again, you know, the sanctions that they imposed in Mali, if anything, the sort of support that we saw on the streets for the government in Mali, for the transitional government in Mali, because the sanctions were being seen as being just so punishing, and that actually did that lead to support for the transitional government? And again, how will and has that influenced what's happened in Burkina Faso?
Okay, there are several things I think we need not to mix here. Unlike what was just said by my co-debater, the various neighbors of Burkina Faso are actually part of ECOWAS, and this includes Niger. So that's one thing that I think, one fact that we should get straight. The second element, I think, is that although there is a very understandable temptation to compare the Malian situation with the Burkinabe one, we are at very different stages in this crisis. The transition in Mali has been going on for 18 months, and the imposition of ECOWAS's sanction, which took place almost 3 weeks ago, happened towards the end of the previously agreed transition period, which means that essentially the Malian government, transitional government, had committed initially to bringing the transition to an end by now and was eventually sanctioned when it's pulled back from that commitment. Now, right now in Burkina Faso, we are only a few days, less than a week, from the coup. So there is a notion of, you know, progression in the way sanctions are being implemented. ECOWAS has announced indeed that today they will be sending two separate missions, one with military officials to figure out the security environment and stakeholders, and another one that will be much more political. It's important, I think, that we take the time to look into how these missions are going to play out, and first of all, how the dialogue is going to evolve between ECOWAS and the new people holding Burkina as we speak. Now, of course, in the current environment in the region, the fact that, you know, as you mentioned, the sanctions that were recently imposed in Mali had a very, a very strong impact in terms of increasing the impopularity of ECOWAS is definitely something that means
sure.
the organization will have to be careful in the way it advances in order not to oppose
sure.
Public opinions.
Well, let's put some of those points now to our third guest. Joining our discussions now from Casablanca is Adam Agay, political analyst specializing in the Sahel and West Africa. Mr. Gay is also the former director of information for ECOWAS. Mr. Gay, welcome to the program. And let me put some of that which we've been discussing to you. ECOWAS leaders are on their way to Burkina Faso. Just how much confidence do you think that they will be arriving with to find a way out of the situation that Burkina Faso finds itself in now?
At least we can find some wisdom in this approach that they are having with Burkina Faso, contrary to what they decided on Mali when they imposed stringent sanctions, economic and financial, on Mali. At least this time around, they have sent people who can talk to the coup makers, military, in order to see why they have decided to move and topple the civilian president, Roch-Marc Kabore. That's a good move. Secondly, to send a political team from ECOWAS also at this early stage is also a good move, at least to have a proper assessment, to hear it from the horse's mouth, instead of just taking a decision unilaterally by leaders who are really out of contact of the realities of what's going on in the countries making up the community. So will they change the situation? Will they force the military to withdraw? I don't think so, because the military in Burkina Faso, in Mali, and also in Guinea-Conakry and across West Africa, they have come to the conclusion that the civilians who have been in charge recently in the names of democratization process have not been delivering on results. And then it makes sense for them to move in order to fix the security not only of their country, to preserve also their sovereignty. And this is the legitimacy they have, and this is backed not only by the people of the countries where those coups were made, but also across the African continent and beyond in the diaspora. People are saying, we want a new independence to get rid of the political rentiers who have been taking control of the countries. And to make sure that this happens, we may have to go, unfortunately, through military rule. And this is not something that's only for West Africa, because remember in 1974 in Portugal, when the military struck and ended the dictatorial regime, what was called the Revolution de Zaire, that made Portugal become the democracy we celebrate today. So why not Africa has to change road and ensure that they are bringing about the objective that all we are dreaming of, a
sure.
serious democratization process, not a fake one under the control of civilians who have been making civilian push. And therefore, the military are rightful to control power, and that's why the Burkinabe military, they are right also to refuse the decision that would be imposed on them by ECOWAS, mainly in the because they are sometimes directed by France and other forces behind the
scenes. That's a very interesting and some would say controversial point of view. Let me put that to David Otto. Could this military transition, do you think, I mean, how often do military coups lead to a truly democratic transition? Do you see that happening here, or is it just too early to say?
I think it's difficult to, make those comparisons. I think we've got to treat Burkina Faso uniquely. But do I think that the military would, descend to an early transition? I don't think so, because the current situation, and one of the key reasons why the military has taken upon itself, or the military junta, to be clear, has taken upon itself to overthrow the president, is that they want to be able to stabilize the country and get rid of the Al-Qaeda and ISIS groups that are operating in the country and in the region. So I don't see any hopes in terms of the military handing over power to the civilian an interim government as quickly as ECOWAS would want that to happen. And that is why I think it will be a replica of what is happening in Mali, which, you know, of course, ECOWAS has sanctioned them. And, you know, Mali has retaliated, you know, with the support of its population. Now, do I think, you know what, this is going to work in the favor of Burkina Faso? I mean, this has to be entirely their call. Mm-hmm. One should not forget that ECOWAS is a sum of its members, and ECOWAS has failed to prevent other constitutional coups that occurred in countries like Ivory Coast, where the president there had changed the constitution to favor him from running.
We cannot
see a situation where ECOWAS is backing one form of coup or sitting very quiet and then, you know, trying to influence changes in another country like Burkina Faso. So let Burkina Faso make a decision.
And Ms. Modaran, just how much of a credibility problem does ECOWAS have, not just because of how the recent sanctions that it's imposed in Mali seem to have backfired, but its perceived silence on authoritarian excesses in other countries in the region, you know, what you spoke about as constitutional manipulation in places like Ivory Coast and Guinea aimed at legitimizing, you know, a third presidential term?
Exactly. I mean, these kind of policy stances have been extremely controversial. What they do is that they project the notion that ECOWAS is supporting a double standard approach to democracy and good governance. So on the one hand, being quite heavy-handed against unconstitutional changes of government, such as the military coups we have seen now in Mali twice, then in Guinea, and now in Burkina Faso, while on the other hand being quite complacent, in fact, with incumbents mingling with constitutions in order to maintain themselves in power. And this was seen in Guinea and in Ivory Coast last year. So here, I think what we're seeing is a crisis of the model of democracy that ECOWAS is promoting, which seems to be quite focused mm-hmm. on the procedural aspect of democracy, having elections and going through the various steps by the books. The part that's missing, perhaps, in the organization's approach is a much more principled commitment to what happens between two elections, not just at the elections, mm-hmm. but the governance that happens between the 5 years or so that run from one election to the other, how transparent, how accountable, how attentive to public needs exactly governments are. This is something where there is a high level of public demand mm-hmm. and where ECOWAS's intermediation has been quite limited until now.
Okay, so Mr. Gay, I want to bring you in here because, you know, you are in the unique position to tell us about the inner workings of ECOWAS. You were you're the former director of information for ECOWAS. So how has it got to this point where, you know, the leading West African economic bloc has such a crisis of credibility?
It's obvious. Look, as a former director of communication of ECOWAS, I'm currently living in political exile. Because in my own country, Senegal, where democratic rules and freedom of expression are no longer respected, I was jailed for no reason, illegal reason, by the government of Macky Sall, who does not respect the rule of law. So this is an indication that it's not only in the countries that have experienced military coup that this is happening, but everywhere in West Africa. And therefore, ECOWAS has a credibility problem in my mind. And I said it in 1993 or 1994. I wrote it in the West African bulletin I created when I was at ECOWAS, that the name ECOWAS itself needs to be changed, because the community was created in May 1975, on 28 May 1975, to handle economic issues in the midst of the Cold War, when the countries making it were divided for ideological reasons. Now, in this post-Cold War, the brand name ECOWAS is outdated.
Right. So you are saying that the concept itself is outdated and it's no longer fit for purpose. Let me put that to David Otto, because there have been three military coups in West Africa in the past 18 months. Again, if ECOWAS is facing such a serious credibility problem, what does that mean for stability in the region?
I think there is total chaos. And, you know, I am afraid that we could see further countries within West Africa looking at this Malian, Burkinabe and Guinea template and thinking, OK, we can do the same. You know, remember, you know, as my co-panelist said, ECOWAS is an economic community of West Africa, you know, and it has no standing army. So it cannot enforce to a level that, you know, it can deter other countries from doing the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, if ECOWAS were serious, what they would have done as a regional body would have been to, you know, come up with an ECOWAS army, you know, that will be deployed in any event that one of their member states was facing a military coup. But they've refused to do that, you know, as membership states. And this is coming back to haunt them.
Right.
So I think it's going to be a very challenging aspect in terms of, you know, the stability of the region, because we're not just talking about the West Africa region here, which is very tight, close to the Central Africa region. So
And there's been a fourth coup in the Central African region in that same time period. We just have a couple of minutes left, and I'd love to hear from both of our other guests before the end of the show. Ms. Modaran, what do you think about the suggestion that ECOWAS needs to actually have a sort of an armed unit which works in the region? I mean, would that help improve security in the region?
So, I would really question against these kind of recommendations. First of all, ECOWAS does have a standby force. It actually made reference to the possibility of activating this standby force, which isn't something that would be a step in the right direction. So I would actually completely challenge what David just said. The worst thing that can happen right now in the Sahel, where a major security crisis is happening, is for on top of national governments and armies being fighting jihadist groups and so on, for them to also have to fight other West African troops. Let's not forget, in the case of Mali, for instance, that ECOWAS has deployed, ECOWAS member states have deployed extended numbers of troops in Mali to support the fight against terrorism and to support stabilization from 2013 and all the way until now. 2013 with AFISMA, the African-led peacekeeping mission, and then until now through the MINUSMA. So political coups are a political issue.
Sure.
They are not a military issue that should be crushed. This has been tried in the past, and it resulted in massive, massive damage to civilians.
Thank you for that. And I'm just going to give Mr. Gay the last word here. What is it going to take, both for the security situation to improve in Burkina Faso and the role of ECOWAS in the West African region?
Broadly, first, the problems have to be fixed by the Burkinabe themselves. This is an internal problem. It has to be fixed by the Burkinabe. That's clear. Secondly, at ECOWAS level, I think three things need to be mentioned quickly. First, as Paul Kagame, Rwanda's president, said, bad governance leads to military coup, and this leads to the necessity to bring about good governance in economic management of the countries. Second, there is a need for the rule of law to be respected and implemented across the region. And third, I do believe the time has come to create a new brand that is more appealing for ECOWAS, and it should be called the West African Organization, because ECOWAS is no longer an economic organization. It is handling democracy, environment, energy, peacekeeping, all the other issues. So they need to change the name, because it was created in 1975 to be just an economic organization. It is no longer an economic organization, and that move needs to be taken into account to create a new debate, regional conversation to make a new regional bloc that will handle all the problem and be more serious than ECOWAS has been in the past.
Mr. Gay, thank you very much for that. And thank you to all of our guests, Adama Gay, Ornella Mordoran and David Otto. And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, do go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJ. Inside Story. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Elizabeth Peranum, and the whole team here, bye for now.